cab driver right up your ass.
So strange.
The photo booth is a time machine.
I am your slave. Command me.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun,
Juggernaut to Carcass.
You're listening to Ohatmu or Not. I guess this is the pandemic edition, or one of our pandemic editions, depending on how long this lasts. I'm here with the six girls, but I'm not. We're each of us at home. Say hi to Shotgun.
Hey.
Amélie.
Hi.
Elise.
My cat says hi.
José.
Bonjour.
Nat.
Hello.
And Isabel.
Now we know what our voices are like. You have no excuse.
Sure.
And we have different soundscapes. So normally we squeeze our thighs together around the same table. And it's very tight. That would not respect the quarantine or social distancing. So we're doing it online for the first time. This is not going to be one of those face-to-face shows. So if you guys are ready, we'll just jump into it.
Ooh. Let's start the chaos.
The chaos has already started.
That was like episode one.
But I predict a very difficult editing job. All right, so.
I'm sorry, future Mike.
Juggernaut. Professor X's stepbrother, Kane Marko, was a bully from childhood, but violence was all he knew. He was secretly being beaten by his abusive father and resentful of his stepbrother's academic achievements. He took it out on Charles. As an adult, he deserted the army while under fire in what must have been at the time of the Korean War, based on when the comics came out, and he ran into a cave that housed the lost secret temple of Sitarak. He grabbed a glowing ruby he found there, and it transformed him into the proverbial unstoppable force, Juggernaut. Basically, you can't stop Juggernaut. You can only slow him down. He runs right through walls and cars. He's just slowed a bit by Spider-Man's webbing and like force fields. They once threw him in a 100-foot deep pit and filled it with concrete, and he still made it out eventually. He's immune to heat, cold, radiation, gas, acid, magic, disease. He doesn't need to eat or breathe. His only weakness is telepathic attack, but that's why he wears that big helmet and underneath a backup helmet that protects him against that too. He's one of the toughest men on Earth. He knows it. He enjoys it. He's big, nasty, and he generally gets what he wants. You might have seen him most recently in Deadpool 2. He's pictured squishing a steel beam in his hands, breaking through glass, not the most impressive use of his power, fighting, maybe it's not glass, I don't know, fighting Spider-Man in his civvies, hitting Colossus over the head with a bar, the whole counter of a bar, and wearing his backup helmet, Juggernaut.
Why do I find it horrifying that he doesn't eat or drink?
Because it's not human.
He doesn't need to. It just, you know, while you're in that concrete pit.
If he's at a cocktail party, you know, maybe he'll grab a cocktail wiener and a beer is what you're saying, but he doesn't need it.
So it's a suit.
So it's a suit, yeah. What do you mean?
like he can remove that. That's a bold choice.
I think what we're saying is he has a neck, right?
Yes. As you can
Thank
see,
you.
As you can see in the shot with the, you know, the shot with the backup helmet.
Yeah.
It's tighter on his head. He's got a neck. He's a normal person.
Excellent. No, I don't see enough neck. I don't believe a neck is there.
Yeah, I need more convincing. I need a full neck shot.
It's like he's a pimple that's swollen.
Oh, no.
Oh, gross.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's what I see.
I cannot see it.
To me, it's he kind of looks like this was homemade. Like, I think because of the way that, like, the bolts are around the neck, it feels like just pieces of tape keeping this together.
Did the like, ruby spontaneously build the suit, or did he make it?
He had to go out and make it, find it.
You see, the reason why I think he has no neck is because look at where his mouth is and look at where his chest ends and his shoulders. He's clearly like, if he has a neck, it can't be comfortable.
You know what, actually? He looks like he's wearing a corset.
It reminds me of old dresses from the Regency era where the waistline was so high up on their waist, like under the boob. It was absurd.
Maybe it's like a girdle that he pulled up very high, but also he looks like he had a few too many burritos. Has a little bit of a stomach going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does have like a little bit of a pot belly.
He's just so round. He's very rounded, and I don't like it.
He's a big man. He's like, what is it, 6'10" or 8'10"?
Oh, jeez.
Dear God.
900 pounds?
Wow.
Yeah.
I am digging the things on his arms, though. I'm cool with that.
I hate them.
Of course you do.
I don't mind the arms, but the knuckles, it feels like he has to hold them.
Yeah.
If he opens his hands, they're going to slip off.
Mm-hmm. I think I don't love it because I think it really accentuates just how round everything is. Like, it really ups the round factor.
There may be a pun. I'll explain. Because Sitarak, that gem of Sitarak that gave him his powers, Sitarak is one of those mystical gods, forces, I don't know, because Doctor Strange uses a spell called the Bands of Sitarak, which is kind of a holding spell. And it's the same Sitarak, I guess, that he evokes. So the Bands of Sitarak, you know, those arm things, those like bracers, or they're almost like leather straps, but they look like metal. They could be the Bands of Sitarak. Does that make it better?
No. No.
Maybe it makes it convoluted.
maybe we should vote collectively by saying yay or boo. 1, 2, 3, boo.
Yay. I like it because he looks ridiculous in it. But what was he doing in a cave?
From what I remember, he and his stepbrother, Professor X, were in the army together. There's a firefight, and the coward, Juggernaut, runs off into this Korean cave, and that's where the gem is.
Cool.
So being a coward, he was rewarded by being, like, the strongest ever? That feels unmerited.
But he's still an idiot, right?
In Deadpool 2, they play him off as an idiot, yes.
So, like, he's the unstoppable force, but, like, that's when he's being a criminal. In day-to-day life, what is he like?
I don't think he does tea parties.
He's in everyday life in that shot with the bar.
He might do T-bone parties.
Ayo!
Barbecue? Not boning. Like a steak. A manly steak.
A manly, manly steak.
No, okay, wait. I just looked at the picture at the bar properly. What is happening? Like, what is he doing to that bar? Why is it exploding in, like, 17 places?
Because Colossus is under there.
Oh.
That's the foot. Nice.
Oh, that's a foot.
Is trouble a foot?
I feel like the whole, like, cowardness to, like, super hard exterior and strength is kind of like a metaphor for, like, you know how a lot of people are compensating with words and being mean and whatever, just because they don't have enough self-confidence. That.
But he was a bully, though, so I guess it fits.
But what does the gem do? Like, does the gem just do this, or does it sort of, like, has the consequence based on who you are?
No, I think he had to read a spell out, and I think it was about the unstoppable force. So that's what the gem grants you.
I think it bothers me that he's a concept.
Explain.
Well, he's a notion. He's the notion of unstoppable force, but as a human, I don't like it.
Like, is that his personality as well? Like a non-stoppable, constantly just going ahead no matter what kind of guy?
Yeah, I just find it kind of boring.
Yeah, that's why I kind of want to talk about Spider-Man's butt more than him.
It is quite remarkable. I agree.
I don't understand why he can walk through anything except, like, those webs. Those webs don't seem strong enough.
No, he's just slowed down by them. Well, you know, like when you walk in a spider web, it kind of all over you.
Precisely.
I am slowed down by them, correct?
That's true. There is that psychological, like, no, what is this feeling?
I don't think that's his feeling, though.
Does he have feelings?
Unstoppable feelings.
Then maybe he'll love you forever.
Not interested.
Well, is Juggernaut hot or not?
No.
He's Juggernaut.
Oh!
I wanted to say that the whole time.
Well done, Nut. Well
that
done.
That is a tremendous display of self-control.
I said it right away because I didn't want to let you guys do it.
Amazing.
You probably get this a lot, but I am a huge fan. Uncanny X-Men, 183, Thor 411, X-Men Unlimited 12. You know, it is always... been a dream of mine to see my face reflected in your helmet as you charge at me with murderous intent. I don't mean right now.
I'm gonna rip you in half now.
That is such a Juggernaut thing to say.
Kale, comma, Jennifer. Jennifer Kale is the granddaughter of the leader of an Atlantean cult that survived from antediluvian times to the present day. Her interest in witchcraft drew her to her grandfather's tome of Atlantean magic, with which she summoned a demon she could not control. She was saved by the Man-Thing, with whom she developed a psychic bond to help the two of them defend the Earth from demonic attack. An immortal Atlantean wizard called Dakim the Enchanter took her on as an apprentice so she could hone her powers. She was well on her way to become one of the most powerful magical practitioners in the Marvel Universe. And in the modern era, she gets killed and uses dark magic to return to life, which leaves half of her face scarred. And she has a long-term romance with Deadpool.
But I am a huge fan.
But at this point, she's just a courageous young woman, adept in the mystic arts, but with no physical skills. So she often needs the protection of monsters or barbarian-type characters. She's pictured studying with her master, walking down a bridge of light to her usual defenders, putting two creatures in a cocoon and listening to one of Dakim's lessons.
I'm really torn about this. I feel like I like it because it's witchy and it's cool and it's sexy, but I feel like it's too sexualized. I feel like the bra thing is too much, just boobs and nipples, and the underwear is just like a big V, and it's just, I don't know, it's just so sexual.
If I'm like picking up on that vibe, because I agree with you, is I think this really looks like it was designed by men. I'm assuming it is anyway, but it really feels that way. Like it feels like, oh yeah, let's make just big nipples straight on her boobs. And
no woman would think that stands up.
Exactly. That's my main issue. Like both the bra and the panties look like they will just be falling down.
It's like she can't have large breasts in this. Like she has to be very, very like skinny and flat-chested for that to actually even maybe stay up.
I think that is her body shape.
But the like fighting with that, no, that would not happen. I mean, unless that bra is real tight, which also sucks. I don't think this is a very good fighting outfit or anything.
No, but you see, this isn't a fighting outfit. This is a studying at the library outfit, you see.
With the old wizard guy.
I mean, she would be safe studying in a library in this outfit, probably.
She'd be cold.
Actually, you know what? Maybe not, because the way that the V thing, I bet that would stab in her stomach.
Oh my god, it would. What libraries have you been to, guys? What?
But that wizard dude really looks like a wizard dude.
Yes, I like him a lot.
Versus, she doesn't look like any sorceress I know, I know plenty.
She has a cape, so she has that going for her.
That cape is awesome, though. I love it.
Yes.
I find it too cut. Like, it's too perfectly cut. It's weird to me. Like, it's almost like it's a skirt in the making more than a cape. Pretty much the only thing I like about her outfit is the bangles.
Oh my god, the bangles!
I did not see the bangles.
I feel like, speaking of the cape, I think if you would take away the clothes completely, okay? She's a witch. Like, fuck that. Take away the clothes completely and just have a cape draped around her, that would be cool.
So
that
like naked with boots?
It would be a lot more witchy. Because this doesn't look witchy to me.
Well, it's white magic, so I don't know how much of it is. It's Atlantean magic. I think that makes it different from pure witchcraft.
Was it supposed to be a bathing suit? Like, is that the inspiration behind the outfit?
That makes sense.
Well, I don't think there's bathing suits with metal bras, but...
That would rust.
Not ideal.
No, but I mean, not the material, but the look of it, it's bathing suit-y.
Well, in the same sense that lingerie is kind of bathing suit-y in general.
So what if the V-shape that first I kind of wanted to associate with the moon is actually like a fishtail?
The rest of the fish.
I hate it more.
I felt like it was a boomerang.
Oh. I was going croissant, but who knows?
Also, I hate that her last name is Kale. I just need to say that out loud.
That was fine.
That's such a sad last name to have.
If she was created today, she'd be like a California babe eating kale and healthy stuff. Yes. Also, we haven't talked about the enchanted turds on the second page. What's that?
I feel like they look like she's baking two sweet potatoes.
She's burning right. them.
I see like bloodsuckers.
What's in them? It's just like a Kinder Surprise where you just open it and surprise, there's a monster.
Don't talk about Kinder Surprise for our listeners. They're not allowed to sell them in the U.S.
Yeah, well, that adds to the mystery.
That's honestly one of the weirdest facts about the U.S. somehow to me.
Yeah.
So when Elise said bloodsucker, you mean like leeches? Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Not vampires?
That. You know, I have to say that walking down on that beam, she looks amazing.
Yeah, I feel like she has like a 80s hair metal soundtrack playing in the background while she's doing this.
Yeah. Definitely. Is she like answering that guy's prayer?
I think this is probably a cover. Must be, or like a splash page or something, because it's very sort of metaphorical. But that's the barbarian hero and the man thing behind him. They're sort of a team.
Okay, that was my question. What the hell is the thing behind him?
Yeah,
he has a sweet nose.
It's a root. He gets his own entry.
Looks gentle and nice.
Yeah, I like him. I don't know what he's about, but I like him.
So people taking notes at home. Juggernaut, not. Man thing, maybe.
I want her house. Look, it's isolated. It's on an island. What's that bubble? Is that a pool? I want her house.
But it's an amazing house. Is that really where she lives, or has she like stolen that castle?
Does it float around and go where she wants to go, and then she just beams down with the cape? It sounds like the Final Countdown would be playing or something. No? Anyone?
Yeah.
I agree. There's something vaguely like Norse.
So like blonde?
Like the outfit, like how comics draw Norse gods.
Sure. Like
I feel
Valkyrie.
Like that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But like more bikini-ish.
Yeah, Valkyrie has that bra.
Oh, there you go. They all shop at the same place. Can she rip that thing off her panties and like attack people with it?
She's not a physical character. As I said, she's not a physical character. That's why she has to hang around with big buff plant monsters.
I think the fact that she's not a physical character makes this outfit even more stupid. Because why would you choose to wear this just in regular life?
It's kind of like when you wear heels that are really high if you know you're going to be sitting down.
But that's me every day at the office. Not right now, but normally.
So yeah, you would wear this at the office?
No. Gosh, no.
No, casual Friday.
Well, these days, who cares what you wear?
Yeah. True. As long as you're not on Zoom, who cares?
I'm like 2 weeks away from giving away all my hard pants.
I got up earlier, and a bunch of students saw that I was wearing pajamas.
Professional.
It was embarrassing. They're covered in cats.
If the students are covered in cats?
Quite possibly.
No, they're the most cat lady pajamas you've ever seen. There's a patch on the top that says, "Life's better with cats."
I need these pajamas.
Is Jennifer Kale hot or not?
I think she'd be cold in that outfit.
I'm going to say hot, but honestly, I'm not excited about it.
I think this is my first lady knot. Great bangles, though. Awesome bangles.
But is she, like, cool? Like, does she, like, suck? Or is she, like, cool?
I think what you mean is, so what's her personality like?
No, but I mean, like, does she exist? Like, does her powers...
This is a person who, later in life, dated Deadpool for a good while.
That's almost a vote of confidence.
I am a huge fan.
Is it?
Yeah, because, I mean, Deadpool's cool and sarcastic, and if you can keep up with that, you must be at least moderately amusing.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm down. I think she's a hot. But like I said, just take off those clothes. I just want naked her.
Okay, you really just want her to be naked, frolicking around with a cape?
Yeah.
And boots.
Isn't that witchy, bangles. Though?
It is witchy.
I would say hot, too, but just like not, I think... A bit boring.
I just wish there was, like, I don't know what I wish there was more of, but it's not clothes, I guess.
But does she exist in cool stories was my question. Like, is her powers kind of useful and fun? Or is just like, look, she's like there.
No, Man-Thing stories are like really weird and trippy and psychedelic.
I can see that. Okay. I'm all right with that.
Stripper naked.
No, yeah, she's hot. She's definitely attractive. I tried several times to bring your attentions to the headpiece, but my mic was not working. I like it. I love it. Yeah, it's too sexualized, but I'm down for it.
I do agree about the headpiece, though. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. I'd wear that.
I feel like she's full of things that are uncomfortable.
Yes.
I can almost accept the bra, but as soon as someone said that those like tiny bits would point into her stomach when she sat down, I can't get behind that.
I gotta say, though, with the leeches, it looks like they're boy shorts, and I'm down for that.
Although
cooler.
They look like they ride really low, and they're kind of like those jeans that pull down to your butt crack when you bend down.
Oh.
No, it looks like a typical Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, low-rise jeans.
This actually kind of looks like an outfit from one of Britney Spears' like sci-fi music videos.
Oh, that's right. She could definitely cosplay Jennifer Kale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Oh, somebody tweet her, quick.
Yeah, we have a direct line.
I know she's busy beating Usain Bolt's record.
That's right.
I love her.
Then clearly she's already a sorceress and thus a fit for this.
You got to pick up every stitch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
There's a lot to process.
Dang. So remember Immortus?
Nope.
Sure you do. How he was a dude bored in a utopian future who found a time machine in his family home, and depending on how he used it, he became different time-related villains. Well, the best known of those villains is Kang the Conqueror. A major Avengers villain, Kang is obsessed with conquering all that is, ever was, and ever shall be. To do this, he uses time travel technology to invade different time periods with his armies, and has even created a council of Kangs composed of thousands of alternate versions of himself.
Oh, God.
So you never really know which exact Kang you're facing, and it really doesn't matter if one dies. Armed with a battle suit that includes a force field and blaster gauntlets, he fairly easily conquered the 40th century. So he set his sights on a bigger challenge, the 20th, which was full of superheroes. He hasn't done so well there. Perhaps important to this show's focus, Kang lost the love of his life, the Princess Ravonna, who did not love him back. He was a tyrant who conquered her time, so you can imagine. She was shot by his own army commanders who couldn't understand why he wouldn't execute her for helping the Avengers escape. He's pictured as a menace to the Avengers, sitting on a throne, projecting a force field that even makes Thor's hammer bounce off, and a diagram of his time ship.
If all of those Kangs together isn't called the Kang Gang, mm-hmm. I will be upset.
Council of Kangs.
Gaggle of Goose, a Kangle of Kangs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like the color palette.
The color palette to me is very like watermelon candy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thrown off by the blue of his face.
Oh, yeah.
Is his face actually blue, or is it just like the thing in front?
I figure it's some sort of mask with the lines through the eyes. I've never been a big fan of the
look. My favorite thing about the outfit is the fact that his boots are so high that it now looks like he's wearing short shorts.
Oh, man, the yeah. boots!
I hate
what
it.
What the hell?
The boots confuse me so much because it's like he's trying to be a soldier and unappealing, and then the boots are just so weirdly sexy.
Kinky boots.
Yes, exactly what I was going to say.
They're just so tight. Like, they show every nook and cranny of his legs.
Josie?
I hate them so much. And his stance. His stance is so large. Like, his feet are so far, too far apart.
Oh, my God.
You didn't see it? It's the first thing I saw.
It bothers it's like me. Further apart than his shoulders.
Yeah, this guy definitely has thigh gap.
Well, there's an arrow pointing direct at the thigh gap.
Ugh, gross.
They really like to do crotch arrows. I don't know if that's intentional, but we've seen a lot of crotch arrows.
Yeah.
Like, someone write a whole thesis paper on crotch arrows.
I feel like crotch arrows aren't part of regular fashion, just superhero fashion, mm-hmm. and I don't understand.
But it kind of feels very corsety, though, that point.
I keep picturing, like, the things that, like, the part of the cape that's attached to his shoulders. Like, I keep registering that as hands.
Same. Just, like,
oh, creepy.
Behind him, like, someone's going to surprise him from the back.
It's really, like, a bold choice to have a really loose top. It looks like a one-piece suit, so why is the legs so tight, yet the top so loose? It's confusing me.
His helmet kind of looks like an old-school scuba diving helmet.
Yes.
I gotta say, his force field is delightful. I really like the little balls. I think it's whimsical. And that's a killer diagram of the time ship.
Everything is very 60s mod.
Well, that's when he was created.
I do have a question, actually. So, if I understand correctly, he goes in different time periods and tries to take over. But does he go in this outfit?
Yeah.
Are people like, what the fuck?
Probably.
Because I feel like if you're going to do that, you're going to stand out quite a bit.
Is the 20th the earliest he came, or he's been in the 1700s too?
There have been all sorts of storylines, I think. But, you know, basically, they want to pit him against the Avengers.
Well, I don't understand how he interacts with time. Because if he goes to a time and then takes over that time and then goes to further along, shouldn't he have changed time?
Well, no, you've seen Endgame.
Yes.
When you change time in the Marvel Universe, you create a parallel timeline.
But if it starts with a timeline where he controls everything, how does that...
Well, I think that's the whole concept behind the councils. Yeah, he's tried to conquer different time periods, so he's created different Kangs who are controlling those time periods, because in other timelines, he did not succeed or he didn't go back that far. Also, don't ask too many questions about time.
Fair.
I feel like my brain shuts off every time you guys start talking about time.
Same.
3 o'clock, 4 p.m.
It might be because that one time in first grade when the substitute teacher asked us to show time on a clock and gave us like a time, and then we had to draw the needles on the clock, me and my friend both started crying.
There's that, and then there's explaining a Doctor Who episode. It's the same.
Yeah, setting. Time is just
traumatic. When he's like lounging on that chair, I feel like every villain that's taking over like time is always sitting like that.
Oh yeah, it's imposing.
That's how you'd remember Immortus, because he's also sitting in a chair.
Yeah. It's like, I'm cool, but it's also kind of casual. Like, there's something almost couch-like about it.
Well, after all that hard work, you need a break.
True.
You need to sit, relax a bit, maybe get a drink.
Sit on a comfy chair next to a fire.
Oh my God. Okay, so I just Googled back Immortus because I really couldn't remember him. And he's arrow hat guy. So he's really into arrows.
Is it like because a timeline is pictured with an arrow at the end? Is it a nod to that, Mike?
Sure, why not?
You're overthinking this.
Is he huge? Like, what's up with the left, like the bottom panel over here? Like, he looks gigantic. No, does he change size? Or
again, this is a cover, probably. A cover image, so it's more metaphorical.
I prefer him to be gigantic.
Maybe the Council of Kangs has a gigantic one. It's got a woman one. There's a female Kang.
Oh, I want to see that.
Whammy one day, if you're nice.
See Kanga?
Kanga. Kanga isn't. I think Kanga's the name of Wonder Woman's kangaroo.
She has a kangaroo?
Yes.
It's also the kangaroo in Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
If you take away all the pink parts on the outfit and you just leave the green jumpsuit, I think I'd wear that.
I would.
So it looks like it'd be comfortable.
At least it's not like too tight.
So you'd wear the green jumpsuit and the blue mask?
Again, it's fashion.
Yes, it's a floating piece in front of my face, or I could paint it on.
But is he like fun?
What's his personality like?
Does he like meddle in a fun way, or does he like show up and be like, all right, everyone, sit down. I'm the conqueror of this world.
I don't think so. I think he's really the sort of raving tyrant, Dr. Doom kind of character.
Lovely.
I think he's one of those person that likes really lame sports, like Ultimate Frisbee. And I think I just don't like him for that. Like Omnikin. Like he looks like a person that loves sports that I just don't care shit about.
Like he's really invested.
How do you figure this?
By his large stance in the legs.
Mm.
I don't know.
When you say this, I feel like he's the guy who wants you to play sports at like random times, like a family reunion, and you're just like, I just want to enjoy my margarita, dude.
Like Americans who play like football in their yard.
Do people do that for real?
It is. Hit us with a pun.
What's his personality like? Would you say he's cantankerous?
I also just noticed there's a coloring mistake where his left arm should be green. But it's purple.
Oh, you're right.
Somebody colored over the, just, you know, colored the same as the cape. Is Kang miscolored? Or, I mean, hot or not?
Miscolored and not hot.
Not.
You gotta say no.
I mean, I do feel a little bit sad that his, even if she was pressured into his being his, like, wife or whatever, that is a bit sad to have someone, like, die on you suddenly like that.
Yeah. I don't think they even got there. I mean, it's like he loves her. She hates him for being the villain. And then she helps the Avengers. She gets shot. But he brings her back from time to time. He goes and snatches her from the point just before her death.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, let her die in peace, dude.
Stop dating your dead ex.
It's not even her ex.
I love my dead crushes.
That's a rom-com.
Yeah, all the dead crushes I loved before.
Oh, it's like that scene where Doctor Strange just keeps repeating the same thing, but he's just kind of trying to win her over, and he keeps bringing her back at different points in time.
That is a rom-com.
It's Groundhog Day.
When we first met, that was the premise.
The one where one of the persons is an amnesiac?
No, that's 51st Date.
When We First Met is like a Netflix movie with that guy, the adorkable guy who's in Pitch Perfect, finds a photo booth that lets him travel in time, and he keeps trying to win over his best friend, and it goes wrong.
Oh, wow. God. That is a plot.
I haven't seen it.
I think there are pieces of that in About Time as well. So it's a common trope. The man who abuses time travel to get a date.
And clearly it's really worked for Kang.
I'm sure he's failing over and over again.
If only I could go back and do everything differently.
I could be the kind of guy she would want.
Shh.
I just traveled back in time.
This is the psycho I was telling you about.
Okay, can I guess? I guess this one will be fantastically hot.
Oh. All right. All right, Isabel. Here you go.
Oh. What have you done, Isabel?
I was right.
Carcass.
Oh, that's what his name is, Carcass.
Oh, I thought you said focus.
Well, please do focus. Carcass is a deviant born with a powerful mutated body, but the soul of a philosopher. You might remember when we covered the deviant high priest Gore. That the more extreme mutations were normally put to death. But some were actually used as gladiators in the arena before being sent to their final fate. Carcass became big and strong so quickly that that's where he ended up. His thick hide could take a lot of punishment, so he mostly took it and only did the bare minimum to survive. Emotionally sensitive, Carcass was a pacifist and a thinker, despite playing a savage monster in the arena. He was eventually rescued by the eternal Thena and now lives on Olympia as her loyal companion. Carcass is 8'3" and over 1,200 pounds of muscle and tough skin. But he's also extremely smart and has a photographic memory. One mistake in the art here is that they've given him a clawed thumb on his right hand. But as the text reminds us, Carcass doesn't have any opposable thumbs. Just three fingers and claws on each hand and foot.
It actually says six in the text. Six claw-like.
Well, that's also a mistake. So, but
I love him.
Isabel was
Look
right.
Look at him.
It's just so strange. Okay, this is going to be convoluted maybe, but he looks like when kids have toys that are like meant to be like weird or meant to be like scary or gross or whatever, but they're still like kind of fine and not actually scary or gross. This is kind of how it looks like to me, where it's just like, it's not actually scary or intimidating, but it's just mildly odd.
You're totally right.
He's a madball.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that it says that it's like he was former gladiator, now he's a scholar. So like, he got rescued, but he didn't try to avenge anything or just, you know, he studies now. And as a nerd, I respect that. Of course, I wouldn't survive in a gladiator arena, though.
I really like his personality.
The personality is great. My main concern when looking at the picture is his eyes. I can't, like, this is what's not doing it for me. I would be able to handle the claws. I would be able to handle the teeth. It's just, I would love to have, like, just a bit of, like, white or something in his eyes.
Does he have eyes?
It says here he has eyes black.
Gosh. Okay, so they're there. They're just black.
I think they're just really sunken in.
Yeah, it's very ape-like.
Is that his neck or is it a beard?
Oh, yes.
Hashtag neck or beard.
Neck. I think it's supposed to be the underneath.
The chin?
Yeah, under the chin here. The sort
the
of
triple
a,
chin?
Like a sack. Of thick.
Don't say sack. Don't sack. No. Don't. No. No.
Maybe it's a little bit turkey-ish.
That's worse.
It says that it's elephant skin like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
So, wow. Oh. So no, like leathery kind of?
Yeah, it's like elephant hide. So like the trunk of an elephant would be the same texture as.
Yes, and apparently elephants think that we're cute the same way we think like puppies are cute.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Carcass would think we're cute?
Probably. We're tiny next to him.
Or would he appreciate our superior intellect? Sorry. I was going to say mine, but it sounded bitchy.
No, we all know you're smarter than us, Elise.
I just took a sip of water.
I was going to make a joke, but it was very bad, but I'm going to do it anyway. You're being a smart carcass.
Good.
That is the worst of the night. You see,
is it
like,
though?
No, maybe not. You know, the left hand that we see here, that's really how his hands should both look. So
you can kind of tell, I would even say, because like where the thumb is, if you just take off the claw, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like it feels like they haven't drawn on a whole other like thumb. They just kind of added a claw.
Yeah, no fingers, just the tip.
Just the tip.
No fingers, just the tip. Is that what you just said?
That's exactly what I said. I tried to stop myself. I was not successful.
Definitely a title of my sex tape situation.
Josie?
His hands and feet remind me of like a dinosaur, like a T-Rex.
It's very Toronto Raptors.
Or like chickens, which are terrifying. Makes me uncomfortable.
He's got some sweet abs.
He's real jacked. Good for you, dude. I kind of hate the fact that he has these pants, though. I gotta be honest. It doesn't really fit the character to me. I guess Gladiator.
Mm. Yeah, maybe he has some, like, philosopher learned man wear.
Oh, I want to see him in a suit.
It's just like a cardigan with patches on the elbows.
Oh, yes.
He's not dressed in tweed in a library. I will be upset.
The same library as Kale.
I kind of want to check out some other artwork of this. I feel there's a coloring mistake. Look at the bands of metal and then where the knee is. It looks like there's no band of metal there, and that should be red, reddish pink.
Oh, like there's like a gap at the knee?
Yeah, could I be right about that? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
And even the blue underwear on the right leg seems to be like over the metal.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They really screwed up his drawing.
Yeah.
The posture is so weird because it makes him look like he's like so small. Like,
yeah.
When I first saw him, I was like, okay, he must be like 2-3 feet tall. But no, like, how is he 8'3"?
It's hard to imagine. Like, other people have been like this before, too, where when they have, like, just like a square picture, they always kind of look squat. Like, wasn't the Hulk like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he reminds me of the Hulk, even the face.
Yeah.
He looks compressed.
What's his favorite philosopher?
Aristotle.
Elisa's been taking courses.
Yeah, you tell us.
My courses got canceled.
So did our lives.
Well, he's a pacifist, so what does that send us anywhere?
Yes, but I'd have to check my notes, and I left them at the office.
I mean, he's not on Earth, so maybe other philosophers?
Yeah, you know?
Sure. Well, he is on Earth. True. The Deviants are on Earth.
They are. Oh,
my mistake.
So if he's studying with the Eternals, and the Eternals are sort of based on the Greek gods, there's a good chance that the Greek philosophers are what interested them first?
I mean, technically, they influenced all the philosophers.
Yeah, they were philosophers before being philosophers were cool.
When was it cool?
During the Greek times. They made it
cool. Yeah, that was really the peak.
Yeah, after that, it kind of went downhill.
They made togas sexy, man.
Oh, he should wear a toga. Yes, a carcass in down. A toga.
I would pronounce it carcass. I don't like carcass.
I've been looking at pictures of carcass on online.
The Google.
but there isn't much. But the pants are always full metal, so that was not a good intuition. But there are pictures of him like with like 6 or 7 fingers on each hand. So I don't know what's going on. I think he's like perpetually mutating, maybe.
Oh, that is a good explanation for screwing up drawings.
So what is it like? The 6-7 fingers, are they just like it's a stomp, like an elephant stomp, and then it's just like all around? That's
yeah.
What I imagine.
Was he good as a gladiator?
He didn't want to be. He just stood there.
Yeah,
so he didn't fight back.
Then he only just like gave a tap at the end of the fight or something.
Wow, that's and he still won.
Yeah.
Well, he can handle anything.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I want to see, no, because he doesn't want to see that. Never mind. But I was going to say, I want to see Carcass versus Juggernaut to see who could win. Like, but I don't want it to happen because I like this guy too much.
Juggernaut wins.
Just because Carcass won't want to fight?
Well, I don't think they're on the same scale. So Juggernaut can lift press 100 tons or more, just like the Hulk and Thor. Carcass can lift press 25 tons. So they're really not on the same...
That's fair.
He has not yet attained adulthood.
How old is he?
I don't know. It says he in his strength level, it says he hasn't reached adulthood. He's a toddler.
So it means he's going to get bigger and stronger, probably.
Also, his speed and reflexes are about 0.75 of an average human male.
I have no idea what the average human male looks like.
No, I mean, he's slower. But he's smart, but he moves slower. I like him.
I like him a lot, too.
Yeah.
I want to be his friend. I don't want to sleep with him. That's scary. But I want to be his friend, and we can talk about smart things.
I want to, like, go to a cafe and, like, France and discuss philosophy.
For the speed thing, if anything I learned in any Jack and the Beanstalk stories is that the larger you are, the slower you are.
Is that what the moral is supposed to be?
Moral, no.
No, just a fact.
What is the moral of Jack and the Beanstalk?
Don't be a
bitch.
Don't
steal. Don't plant magic beans. Don't garden.
Gardening is dangerous.
Don't sell a cow for beans.
I think listen to your parents too.
Oh yeah, that's totally it.
Most Blame. Of those old stories are listen to your parents because they were told by parents.
Yeah.
Illuminati confirmed.
So we're heading towards a Nermadillo Dragon Man kind of situation here, but is Carcass or Carcass hot or not?
I think hot. I love it a lot. It's very cool.
His teeth are very sharp, and yeah. I love it.
A little scary, but cool.
That's something really different also, so that's what makes me like him a lot more. Hot.
Can he be voiced by like some Shakespearean British actor?
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Stewart as Carcass.
I have a lot of empathy. I feel for him because he was thrust in something he doesn't want to do.
Okay, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Peter Dinklage in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Because he looks really small on that image, but he's like 8 feet tall, and that's exactly what they did with Peter Dinklage.
Excellent. I feel like they usually put intellect to, like, construction in these comics, like the towards building machines or stuff like that, but that his intellect is used in a different way here, that's kind of cool.
Liberal arts.
Huzzah.
Snap, snap.
It's the Carcass!
What?
He could do it, you know! The Carcass has superhuman strength!
You will be minced meat!
You know he's a fictional character!
But I don't! I've never heard of him!
Art credits, Juggernaut by John Romita Jr., Jennifer Kale by June Brinkman, Kang by Brett Breeding, and Carcass by Ron Wilson.
Yeah, let me speak to a manager because this is out of control. Freaking Chick-fil-A being stingy with the... Wait, Black Canary?
Oh no, not you.
Black Canary, you're a manager at Chick-fil-A?
Look, if you must know, I'm working an undercover operation here.
Wait, there isn't any type of slave labor or human trafficking going on here, is it?
No, idiot. But I'm not going to tell you my secret mission so you can blab about it on your podcast, Feathers and Foes, or the Batgirl, Cassandra Cain podcast.
And don't forget, the Right On Network has another podcast, Straight Outta Gallifrey.
Straight Outta what?
Gallifrey, a podcast where we discuss Doctor Who episodes featuring other Time Lords.
Hey, eyes up here.
What?
I saw where you were looking. Out of here.
Just so you know, I like the Huntress better.
Why, Iota, this promo has no affiliation with Chick-fil-A. However, you may send all complaints to rightonnetwork.com or feathersandfoes.com.
Female bag.
Woo!
As I surmised, some of the sounds cut out. All right, this is about episode 55, John Jameson, Madison Jeffries, Jester, and Rick Jones. Let's see what you thought of that episode. John Jameson, Chris Franklin says, I got to give props to John Jameson for being the star of one of the most memorable Power Records book and record sets that smushed his first two Man-Wolf stories into one, and its very dramatic presentation. Lots of heavy wolf breathing. Reading this Ohadmu was when I first learned about him becoming Star God and all that weirdness. I will admit, it did kind of steer things away from the cool werewolf horror angle, but I guess you still have Werewolf by Night in the Marvel Universe. That's very far out for us. Ange says, given the talk of Man-Wolf's cycle, I wonder if it would be worth giving the girls the curse. A Swamp Thing number 40 by Moore, Bissett, and Totalbin, which explores the link between menstruation and lycanthropy.
Ooh.
Madison Jeffries on Elise Blasting Engineers. Engineer Gene Hendricks says, well, I guess that Masters of Science and Engineering isn't as sexy as I thought.
Yes, it is. It's totally fun.
Some of us just have trauma.
Tim Price says very possibly the first character was clearly a superhero but refuses to do the superhero branding and pretty scary powerful. I love him. And Lizanne Oswald says his box look was really cool. So we'll see that soon enough because we're going to do a special where we look at new looks and box. Well, Madison Jeffries' box will be part of that.
Can we do like a girl Kanga in that episode?
A girl Kanga?
A Kang, sorry. I already named her Kanga. Girl Kang.
I can have girl Kang. I can have Kanga. Kanget.
Nice. Kanget.
I can get her. I can get her.
Kang and the Kangets.
The Jester. Chris Franklin says, I was thinking the same thing about the Jester's origin. Why did this guy ever make it to the stage to begin with? I guess Hollywood has built movies around bad actors, so off-Broadway plays can do the same. The Jester.
I am a huge fan.
Seems more like a DC villain somehow stumbled into a Marvel comic for some reason.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
Kind of Batman-y. Tim Price says, one of you said he did all the work and they fired him after one show. No wonder he went evil. Absolutely perfect. Lols. I hadn't looked at his tights much, but you're right. They look too big. How can that be when every other hero's or villain's tights are perfect fits? One answer, the artist really wanted them to look like stage tights, and dang it, those never fit right. My usual problem is them being too small for me. So, Tim on the boards. Lizanne Oswald says he's Marvel's version of the Trickster. If Marvel brings Daredevil to Disney+, Mark Hamill can voice him. Because he played the Trickster, you know. Ange says, I had to laugh when I looked at the gallery pics before listening to the episode. And and then he says, without a doubt, the outfit I would have picked is the Jester. In fact, I was thinking, that's a pretty boss look. And I like the gimmicky nature of his gadgets. That would totally be me. I looked at Madison Jeffries and Rick Jones, and I often dress like the both of them. In particular, Jones's jeans and Chuck Taylor's look is me on most weekend days off. But I would be all about exploding yo-yos, electric joy buzzers, and juggling ball gas bombs. Of course he's the loser of the episode.
Sorry. It sounds like he's doing it on purpose now. Like, who would look at those four and say, yeah, I want to be that ill-fitted tights guy? You need better aspirations, man.
Dr. Ange is the man. Rick Jones. Chris Franklin says, for Rick Jones, you used the clip of the 80s Hulk cartoon, but I wish you could show the girls that show's version of Rick. The long blonde hair and cowboy hat was an interesting direction to go in with the character, for sure.
I will respectfully disagree.
As stupid as his introductory act is, he was driving across a military-based test site while steering with his feet and playing the harmonica. Rick Jones is a much better hero sidekick than his DC analog, Snapper Carr. I know the girls don't know about Snapper. They're better for it. Although now that I think about it, I'm surprised Rick hasn't never made it into any live-action version of the Hulk, especially the MCU. Tim Price says, I'm glad Rick got some love in addition to being a sidekick because he wants to help. He's the guy who made a big mistake and has dedicated his life to atoning for it because he basically created the Hulk. He says, that's pretty awesome. I've just started reading the original Hulk series. I just got to the issue where they have a mental link and the Hulk does everything Rick tells him to do. But Rick can't fall asleep because as soon as he does, Hulk goes on a rampage. And that's just in the first year of his appearances. Rick has been through a lot of stuff.
That's really cool, actually.
Poor dude.
Sounds horrifying.
Well, the Hulk was kind of a horror comic in a way. You know, it's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Lizanne Oswald says his costume is of its time. His clothes were of its time. But why is he always in yellow, blue, and red? Are they playing up the Captain Marvel colors?
Yeah, I would never wear those colors together.
I would. I mean, we're Acadian. That's like most of our flag.
I know. That's why I wouldn't wear them together. I'd feel ridiculous.
I definitely would wear this. I might wear this summer. I basically have this jacket.
Yeah, you do.
I was showing Josie this jacket today.
That's the one have you bought jeans with me?
Yeah. Oh.
Bradley Null says Rick and John are both characters I like just for having such a complicated history. And then Eric has a more general comment. He says, regarding the there should be more movies about comics creators discussion that we had. He says, besides the one you mentioned, Professor Marston and the Wonder Women, I can recall three film adaptations of autobiographical comics. Harvey Pekar's American Splendor, which I should have thought of because I really like that movie. Marjane Satrapi's Persepolis and Durf Bagdurf's My Friend Dahmer. So there are a number of comics creators whose lives could make interesting biopics. Bill Gaines and the rise of and fall of EC Comics, particularly his disastrous attempt at defending his horror comics in front of the Senate Subcommittee on Juvenile Delinquency. Matt Baker's experiences as an African-American artist in the 1950s, the horrible life of the abusive alcoholic Fletcher Hanks, and several of the pioneers of the comics industry, of course, Will Eisner, Jack Kirby, Joe Simon, etc. I do think we'll probably get a Stan Lee biopic before long.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Especially now that he's passed. Like, I feel like in the next 5 years, we'll have a Stan Lee.
I had forgotten he passed away.
On a better note, the show's now on Spotify. So if you prefer to consume podcasts that way, just search for the show's title on that platform. Before we go, we have to mention that Fire and Water Podcast Network now has a Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcasts. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards. And guys, when you support this show specifically, you get put on the hot list and the girls throw a custom compliment at you.
They're great.
Yeah, they're totally worth the money.
Let's see. How about one for Mike Dinas?
Is he Mike from Saskatchewan?
No, he's Mike from British Columbia.
Well, yeah, look on the bright side. You're not from the prairies.
You're from a cooler province than the other Mike.
Yeah. So congrats on that.
You're also from a cooler province than we are, let's be real.
Hey.
You're really going to hay New Brunswick, bottom barrel province of Canada?
You realize that we're called the drive-through province, right?
There's a whole parody news article that's just trying to desperately not rank New Brunswick last.
Well, you know, you drive through the province and there's just people on the street handing out coffee.
Yeah, it's like a race. We're giving refreshments and encouragement on their way to Nova Scotia.
Okay, well,
yeah, we line the streets and we cheer as you drive by.
From Asgard, we've got Gene Hendricks.
See, Asgard, also a better place.
I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Is that the compliment?
You're spiritually from Asgard. That's the compliment. That's a nut compliment right there.
From New Brunswick. The rest are all from New Brunswick, actually. But Anne-Marie Bernier.
Okay. She is in New Brunswick right now.
Yeah,
that
but
is
you
not
know
a
what?
Compliment.
But it is a compliment.
But she doesn't normally live in New Brunswick, and that's a good life decision right there.
Well, someone who does live in New Brunswick right now and has for a while, Elise Amel.
Oh! Well, you know what? She could always move to another province. That's always a good life option.
That is not
she
a compliment.
She used to live in Ontario.
Yeah. That's
no, she didn't.
I never lived in Ontario. I lived on the Quebec side of Ottawa.
Oh, you did?
Congrats.
Congrats on not living in New Brunswick.
I lived in little Chicago, Le Vieux-Hull. Old Hull. It was dangerous. Once I called home and my boyfriend said, be careful, someone got murdered a few blocks away.
Oh, fun.
But
then he said, it was probably drug related, so I think you're good.
Lisa is a good cook.
Yes, that's true. Yes. That's
compliment.
Thank
I've
you,
been
Jose.
Doing a lot of cooking lately.
And finally, Monsieur Luc.
Oh, Monsieur Luc.
Amélie, say something loud. He's just like besides you.
Oh, no. He's definitely playing a new game on Steam right now.
Is he good at it?
Very good at video games, actually. He won a CSGO tournament a couple of years back.
Ooh.
Very good at gaming.
Same, but
neither. It's amazed.
It's Counter-Strike Global Objective.
Okay.
I think it's Global Objective. It's something like that.
All right, say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Good luck editing, Mike.
We love you. We're sorry.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
The cats know I'm here, so every once in a while, with their fluffy paws, I just hear shh, 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 shh on the door, and I
on the door, baby.
And I like, I open it really gently and like scare them away
on the door.
Talk a little louder, sugar. Each.
So let's see what you had, what you thought of this, of that, of, or, you know, my them. Terrible intro.
What a professional.
But I am a huge fan.